Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio, and it's the 1st of November, 2023. So I hope you had a happy, fun, and cavity-filled Halloween yesterday. Welcome to today's show, where we've got the Council for Exceptional Children here. Got, four educators, but three of them working in the classroom, and Lori Vanderplug, who is the our good friend and our associate executive director of the organization, the number one organization in special education. We're going to talk about elevating the special ed profession today, okay, and what teachers and school districts need to do, because, as you know, there's a serious shortage out there. And as I always like to say, it's not just the kids who are special, it's the teachers as well. And boy, it's just such a rewarding occupation. But we will talk to everybody in it and see what's going on. We're going to archive the show over at ace-ed.org, our home website for our American Consortium for Equity in Education. This show has a lot to do with equity. Every kid serves the best teacher. We can't afford to have untrained or lesser trained teachers in there. We got to find the right people. All right. It's all about equity. It always kind of boils down to that. So please go over, see what we do at ace-ed.org. And you can see our magazine, Equity in Access. You can see our Excellence in Equity Award program. All the podcasts are over there. It's a nice website with a lot of information, new information popping over there all the time. So please check it all out. Everything's free for you over at ace-ed.org. We're very proud of what we do over there, and I hope you enjoy it, and please tell everybody you know about it as well. I want to bring on all my guests here. We got four people here, so let me take the time to introduce them. First of all, my old buddy, Lori Vanderplug, the Associate Executive Director over at CEC. Hi, Lori. Good morning. Larry here.
Morning. Nice to hear from you, and good to be here today.
Always have pleasure to have you here. And let me say hello to, I got to thank a couple of people here. First of all, Danielle, are you there, Danny?
Yes, I'm here. How are you?
I'm fine. You're in New Jersey, right?
I am, yes. I'm in Hopatcon, New Jersey, northern Jersey.
It was a great, and I'm from Philly originally. I live up in Maine now. And Hopatcon, where is Hopatcon? Great names
Hopatcon.
In Jersey.
Yes. Well, it's actually a Native American name. It's Lenni Lenape for Lake of Many Coves, but Hopatcon is in Sussex County in northern New Jersey.
Northern New Jersey. I got friends coming up here from Randolph today. Are you near Randolph?
I am where I live. I'm actually bordering Randolph, and there actually are rivals.
Well, I'll be sure to tell them that, for goodness sake. That's great. They're coming up today to spend a couple of days with us. That's funny. Welcome to the show, Danny. Sean, are you there? Sean Phelan?
Good morning. Yes, I am.
Don't be so formal. I'm Larry. You got to call me Larry. It's a pleasure to have you here, my friend, from Overland Park, Kansas, where I've been many, many times on my many visits to Kansas City, Missouri. Okay? Blue Valley North High School. By the way, I forgot to mention Danielle's last name is Kovach. And she's a special ed teacher at Tuca Trail Elementary in Hopatcon, right next to Randolph, New Jersey. And Sean is Blue Valley North High School in Overland Park, Kansas. How's life out there in Kansas today? Sunflower.
Hey, it's going pretty good. You know, the Chiefs are doing good, so the community's doing pretty good right now. Except
hey, you lost to Denver on Sunday. Come on, you guys got to open your eyes, for God's sake. I mean, and by the way, we're Patriots fans out here, so you can only feel the pain and suffering we're going through this year. Okay,
absolutely.
Just unbelievable. That's funny. All right, and good. Are you double dating with Jason and Travis?
Yeah, with Travis and Taylor Swift, of course.
Taylor, yeah, got mixed up between the brothers. Yeah, I know what I meant. Yeah, are you double dating? Have you met Travis? Taylor?
Well, yeah, Taylor's best friends with all of us out here in Kansas City right
now.
There you go.
She's a terrific lady. I think the world of her. And Ben, I don't know if you can top that with Taylor Swift out from Salt Lake City. Thanks for you to getting up so early. What time is it out there?
It is 7:04, so
I'm
up and happy to be here.
Well, I'm thrilled to have you here. Ben Tillotson is a transition specialist. What's that mean, Ben?
So a transition specialist is someone who works with students ages 18 to 22. So transition is post-high school.
And are your students special in special education?
Yes. Yep.
What a lovely profession you have, my friend. That's just great to help the kids get by. I love that. Salt Lake City School District, Ben Tillotson. And Sean, I also wanted to ask you, intensive resource teacher at Blue Valley on North High. What is that? Intensive resource teacher.
So I am a special education teacher. It's just the name that's used in our district. Essentially, I teach in a center-based program.
And explain a little more. Please.
Yeah, so I teach students with Down syndrome, autism, learning disabilities. So a way when talking to other people across the country, I've used the term of like a life skills program that kind of helps paint the picture of the program that I'm teaching in.
Well, and I want you all four of you to know you're all going to heaven. All special ed teachers go to heaven, so congratulations. You're welcome. You may all speak whenever. It's okay. I got you covered here. Okay? You know, we're talking. Don't be shy. Okay? Lori, we're talking about elevating the profession here. And, you know, when I saw that you wanted to title the show this, I, of course, I did it. But to me, it's a wonderful profession. And I know you think that way, too. But there must be, you must believe that there is a perception challenge out there. Okay, and I'm just curious, what you mean when you say elevating the profession.
Yep. Well, it's a really good question, and, you know, we've been on the podcast before and talked about the special education show, and with our focus on really attracting into the pipeline and then preparing and retaining, that it's a challenge for us to be able to attract into special education as a preferred profession. And I think it's important, you know, that everyone understands that educators have the most important job. They prepare every student in the nation to be college, career, and community ready. And community ready is, you know, Sean and Ben are doing with their young adults as well.
Yes, they are.
But, you know, we're combating negative media coverage. You know, a lot of that came off of the pandemic, but even before the pandemic. And there's low compensation. Teachers feel very undervalued and respected for the level of work they're doing. And Larry, we talked about this, the high attrition rates, you know, the early retirements, the attrition rates, teachers are leaving because they just don't feel like they're valued and respected for their contributions. But not just that, but the positive outcomes that they get for their students. They're, you know, it's really under-respected. So there's a significant impact for us on our ability to attract into the profession when people are listening to the negative news about education and how we're not doing well and students are not doing well and funding isn't available and teachers are undercompensated. Yeah. So we just have to figure out, and you know, all of us will talk about some strategies that we're putting in place. I'll talk about that a little bit later on with some Michigan work that I'm currently doing. But,
yes, we will.
You know, we have to change the perception of what it means to be a special educator and talk about what principals need to be doing, you know, to promote teachers and celebrate teachers a little bit and central administrators and school board members. You know, the whole educational community needs to recognize and celebrate the successes and the time commitment and the hard work that our teachers are doing every day in the classroom on behalf of all children across the nation. So, we have a lot going on in relationship to the campaign, but in order for us to be able to attract into the profession, Larry, we've got to change the perception of what it means to be a special educator today.
Yeah, and you know what, if I may, and we've talked about this before, or, excuse me, I have a scratchy throat all of a sudden, but what's interesting about it is very few, and I think I'm right here, and I'll just follow up with you, Laura, in a second, but very few kids who are in special education can become special ed teachers, where kids who are good in math or kids who are good in science, or as I was good in social studies and history, I became a social studies teacher, okay, because I really liked it, all right? But it's different, okay, for special ed. You can't, you know, the students you're working with, although they love you, okay, they're not going to go in the profession. So we lose that category of contenders, so to speak. okay, and future special ed teachers. And we have to work very hard to find. I'm going to say what I said before, and I'm going to add just a little more. I hope, and I honestly believe this, that every educator in America appreciates, loves, and respects, okay, special educators. They know how hard the job is. But we got to get kids who don't understand that into the profession, because we are running into a shortage. Okay, it's tough right now, because there's a teacher shortage anyway, for all the reasons you just stated, Lori. You know, it's political, let's be honest about it, just games of politics, okay? And it's just terrible, because people aren't getting the other side. We got to somehow fight that, et cetera. Let me swing over, Sean, you know, when you work with Lori on all this, you must see the same thing. So what are some of the strategies that you think, as you talk to your colleagues, as you talk to people in the community, about this perception of being a special educator? Sean?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think
from Overland
take on
Park,
what you guys...
I'm like that, home of the Chiefs, just to make that clear.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And, Taylor Swift, yeah.
And Taylor Swift, of course, can't forget.
And Taylor Swift, yeah.
You know, I think going off of what you're both talking about changing the perception of special education teachers, I think we also need to change the perception of our students with disabilities. You know, I think people have maybe a conscious or an unconscious belief about what individuals with disabilities can achieve in their lives. And I think because of that, it almost then shapes the views of what a special education teacher is. So when we have, you know, people who are maybe wanting to go into the education field, there might already be these perceptions about what a student with a disability is. And if a student, you know, a prospective teacher might not have experience working with someone with a disability or might not know what it looks like, then they will then go pick maybe the general education route. So we might be losing educators there. And, you know, some strategies that we use a lot in our high school level, and I think just around the country we can do, is the more that we include our students with disabilities and especially our students with extensive support needs into general education, the more access that we are then giving to other people working with different types of individuals. And then that also then can help build the relationships between general education teachers and special education teachers and everyone working together. And I think, you know, the more that we are telling success stories of individuals with disabilities, I think can then also grow the profession as well. You know, I share that I teach in a program that's a center-based program. It's a program that's considered maybe life skills, but this is my fifth year of teaching, and I've had 5 students go to college.
Wow.
You know,
congratulations.
Thank
congratulations.
You. Thank
that's great.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And the reason I share that is, the reason I share that is just because I want people to know that, like, individuals with disabilities can achieve these things, and there are more college programs for students with intellectual disabilities popping up across the country. So I think,
absolutely,
you know, it kind of just goes to the root of access. So the more access that we're giving, the more storytelling we're sharing and all these things together, you know, can really bring the education community together as much as maybe separate as gen ed and then special ed, but more just education as a whole, and we're just helping achieving our students to be as successful as they can be.
Again, I'm going to just comment one thing, and I we use it all the time, but I think we have to change the word disabled. The kids, a lot of the kids we're talking about are very abled, okay? They just have a specific challenge, okay? But that's a specific problem, whatever the hell you want to call it, but they're not disabled, okay, necessarily. I just think it's a word that says, oh, they can't do it. Okay, and I think we need to really change the perception of that word, okay, because it just always, it sounds to me like it's like writing people off before you even give them a chance to show what they can do, okay, and I think we're making a big mistake. And I have to ask you, Sean, what got you into special ed?
Well, it kind of goes back to access. My mom was a paraprofessional, so I worked with her at Special Olympics, and then just kind of fell in love with it, and then, you know, through the years, just had different opportunities to work with individuals with disabilities. And I went to the University of Kansas, and I was a peer for their KU Transition to Post-Secondary Education program. So I helped work with peers with intellectual disabilities in college. So, you know, I saw firsthand the possibility of students with intellectual disabilities graduating college and being successful. So that's kind of what helped make me passionate about trying to elevate the profession, is by through the students and their successes that they can achieve, I feel like we can then get more educators into the special education world.
Yeah, we got to get that word out. That's great. Thanks, Sean. Ben, are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
from Salt Lake, long way from Maine, I got to tell you. Okay, and it's great to have you here. Again, I appreciate the early rise, which is far worse than the central time zone. Okay, and Candy's off the hook because she's Eastern time. Okay, but Ben, I got it. First of all, let me ask you, how come you decided to go into the profession?
Well, originally I was coaching theater at my old high school, and I was enjoying that. I worked with students with on my character development, how you understand another human being in order to portray them on the stage. And I really enjoyed that side, working with students, and so I wanted to originally be a high school counselor, but I really didn't know how to go that path. I figured I would go into teaching first. So I just kind of fell into special education, and I was like, sure, I'll do this.
Yeah.
And, you know, here I am, my 14th year teaching.
Wow.
And so, yeah.
Wow. There you go. Okay. That is excellent. So talk about the challenges that you see out there. Okay. And again, you know, we're trying to get kids, the high school students, you know, to go into education, and B, if we can, certainly, if they can, to go into special education. Okay, it's a nice thing. It's a good thing to do. As I always say, it takes a special kind of person to do it. I believe that it really does. Or maybe it doesn't. That's actually maybe a good point. Maybe people think they have to be special in their own way to go into this, and they don't have the patience for it, et cetera. So how do we change the perception both inside the school so that the future teachers club really looks at this seriously, okay, and also that the community looks at this? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and just one of my minor corrections. So I last 7 years I was teaching transition. This year I just switched to junior high, so I work with ninth graders now. But
still in special ed,
you know,
or in a different subject.
Yes, still special ed.
Great.
Primarily I've worked with kind of what Sean's teaching in more of like a self-contained, extensive support needs, life skills classrooms. This year all my students are in general education classes. And they just kind of have to pull out special ed classes. But I've worked in the elementary, I've worked at the high school, I've worked post-high, now I'm working junior high. And so I've seen the wide spectrum of students in education, in special education. And I think you're correct, this connotation about disability. And what's really great is I've had conversations with the disability community, and they talk about how disability is not a bad thing. And sometimes we need to change that conversation about just because you are different does not mean that you are any less capable. It just means that
you
how you navigate the world.
You may learn differently,
exactly.
But you're learning. Yeah.
And so, yeah, so when I look at my role as a special education teacher, I love my job because it is dynamic. I'm like a problem solver. I get to solve these puzzles every single day. Like if you like working with people and you like solving puzzles or problems, like special education is a great career for that because every day I'm working with people. I'm helping them to problem solve, helping them to find, you know, what pathway works for them. So for me, it's a very exciting and rewarding career. And, you know, I think sometimes we culturally, as I see in education, there's this fear of failure, right? And we don't want to be seen as failing when in actuality, failure is a part of learning, right?
Oh, without question.
Yeah,
failure is the best part of everything. I have to stop you there. My oldest friend in the world, Dr. Stu Feierstein, is a famous neuroscientist at Columbia. And he wrote a book called Failure, The Importance of Failure. And he refers to it mostly to science. You don't go forward unless you fail. But it's the same thing here. There should not be a fear of failure. And by the way, that's what teachers want to impress on their kids. Don't be scared to fail. Okay? And I could get into that for about an hour and a half, but I won't. But thank you for bringing that up. Okay? There's nothing to be scared of. Ben, I interrupted you. I apologize. Go back.
Yes. No, you're good. No, I agree. I talked about that too. but yeah, and so I think it's changing those conversations. I think one way to change the perception is when I talk with my students, I inform them, hey, do you know that you have a disability? Do you know what that means? Do you know how you interact with the world? It is important for you to know about your disability so you can advocate for yourself. I want to empower my students, you know? And so I think that's a way to change the conversation is that we empower them. Yes, you have a disability. Yes, you interact with the world maybe in a different way than some of your peers. But let's figure out what does that look like? What does that mean? How does that empower you? And so changing that narrative about what it means to be a special education teacher is we empower our students. Like, we help them to advocate for themselves. We're problem solvers. We love working with people. So that's what I would say to that.
It's good stuff. And I want to ask you one other thing. You were working in the transitions. Now you're down. By the way, thank you for using the term junior high, because I'm so old, I actually taught in a junior high. Okay. Is yours actually a junior high, or is it a middle school?
Junior high.
They call it a junior high?
They call it a junior high. It's
I'm amazed.
7th, 8th, and 9th grade.
What? They call it a junior high?
Yep.
Oh, I love that. Yay. Thank you, Overland Park, bringing me back to my past. All right. Everybody else calls it a middle school. Okay. Thank you very much. One other question before I move over to Danny, and I just want to ask you. Okay, you've got kids who you said are pulled out for special ed, okay, as needed,
yes.
However that word pulled out means, okay? But my question is, that means that those kids who are in special ed are obviously mainstreaming in general education. Are you talking to the teachers, your colleagues who teach these kids about how best to approach teaching these kids?
Oh, all the time. All the time. All the time. And we problem solve. And we talk about, okay, what's not working. And I send out emails and like, hey, try this strategy. Let's try this. Let's see if this helps them to have a positive experience. Let's meet them where they're at. What is required for the class and how can we modify and adapt it so they can have a positive educational experience? To get them intrinsically motivated, you know, in the classroom.
Right. It's good. It's good stuff. Just keep it up. And I'm so glad the teachers want to do so well, which, by the way, does not surprise me in the slightest. And Danny Kovach, I got to go over to you, and I apologize for making you the last one I'm asking questions to, so to speak, in order of my guests.
Totally.
Blame
okay.
Lori. Yeah, blame Lori. That's the order she gave me.
I can never blame Lori for anything.
Yeah, blame Lori. That's the order she gave me, okay? So I just want everybody to know that, okay? What got you into special ed, Danny?
Actually, it was my parents. So I always knew I wanted to be a teacher. That was my passion. And it was my mom that said to me, you know what, I think you would make a great special educator. My mom got me involved in a camp when I think I was a sophomore or junior in high school at a camp for individuals with disabilities, and I was just hooked. It was just something that I truly had a calling for, a passion for, and I never looked back. I've been doing it ever since.
Wow.
So it was my parents that encouraged
How long have you, not to get into the age thing, but how long have you been doing it now?
This is my 26th year.
26 years. So you started when you were 4 years old. That's absolutely amazing. I can do the math. Okay.
Right. But what's interesting, when I first started, the job that I have now, when I went on my interview, I was one of 400 applicants. And
really?
Now it's interesting. And now we're in a teacher shortage where we can't even get teachers to fill the positions. So over 26 years, it has certainly changed a lot. And I get to see a different perspective through the eyes of my son, who is a new special education teacher, and seeing him go on job interviews. Very proud of him.
You should be. Where's he teaching?
He's a special educator at Eisenhower Middle School in Roxbury, which is right next to Randolph.
Right. My friends Pat and Margaret are coming up here today. Yes. I'm going to just spell them with the names of communities next door to them.
Yes.
Okay.
When you say Roxbury, they will roll their eyes.
Roxbury.
Yes, we're rivals.
Got it. This is a riot.
Yep.
They're going to go nuts today. Okay, this is funny. Okay, how? You know, CEC wants to really elevate the profession, okay, and get more people to consider it and do it, okay?
Yes.
What's your idea? How can they do this? How are they going to do this?
Right.
And let me ask you another question. One step at a time. Go ahead.
The question is not really in my mind to whom, but to not whom, and that's nobody. Everyone needs to be involved in this. What I find amazing is that I also teach I'm an adjunct professor at night, and I teach special education classes. And what's amazing to me is my students who've had family members that have said, don't go into teaching, don't do it. So I don't think it's necessarily that we need to only try and recruit, you know, young people who want to go into teaching, but also family, also our politicians. Everybody needs to know that this is
started.
A calling that we need. New Jersey hasn't had a good track record of being positive in our political field of, you know, our teachers, but we need to change the narrative. And one of the things I'm so proud of that CEC has done, when I was president, we sent out our new strategic plan. And one of the parts of our plan is to elevate and promote the work of our education professionals, and especially those who work with individuals with disabilities. So currently I'm heading a teacher recruitment work group. Actually, Ben is on my work group as well. And we are in the process of creating a website, basically giving you all the ins and outs of what it takes to be a special educator. If you want to go in the field, giving you that information. If you're a paraeducator and you want to make a career change. If you're in another field and you want to make
a
career change.
Yep.
Yes. How can you go about doing it? I will say there's a large number of teachers that I know who started in a different field because they were discouraged to go into education. And if it's meant to be, it's meant to be. And they went back to school and they got their teaching degree. So part of that, too, is to get those people who, hey, we know you wanted to be an educator. Here's what you need. Here's how to do it. So we're providing some insight into the lives of special educators, and we're also providing that support of, okay, what do I need to do to become an educator? So that's one of our newest initiatives right now. One of the things we've also done is just getting the stories out there. You know, there's a lot of negativity around being a teacher, around being a special educator. And, you know, we want to get those positive stories out there, but not sugarcoating it. Like, we certainly don't want to make it seem like it's a cakewalk and, you know, you'll every day you'll love it. And half the time I come home, I just want to crash on the couch and relax because I'm exhausted. But those are the things that, you know, we want people to know that it is exhausting. It is a lot of work, but it is so fulfilling and rewarding. And I think that one of the reasons why, you know, my son chose to be an educator, one, because it was a passion of his and he wanted to do, but he knows the realities of it. I've never sugarcoated anything with my son. Like, I come home and I tell them, this is what happened today, the good, the bad, the ugly, and the amazing. So he knows all the ins and outs, and it's such a thrill. Last night when we were trick or treating around our neighborhood, and he's also a firefighter, so he was on the fire truck, and to see a student come up and be like, "Mom, this is my favorite teacher in school," and I was like, "Oh," my heart was so huge. Especially since you know, when we talk about building a pipeline of teachers, a diverse pipeline, men are not commonly in teaching. The fact that we have Sean and Ben on our call right now.
I was thinking that. I wasn't going to bring it up.
We need men in the teaching profession. You know, our boys need men to look up to. We're building that, not just a pipeline of teachers, but a diverse pipeline of teachers. Men are individuals of color. Like, we need, all types of walks of educators. And our students need those that they can relate to, that they can share their culture and their experiences with. So CEC is working at the helm to to bring that out there. Our goal is to unveil our recruitment page at our convention next year in March. So we're super excited about that, and we're just we're trying to tackle this.
Yeah, convention
this year is it's going to be in San Antonio.
Okay, yeah, good. Go to the Alamo. Go to the Alamo.
So,
to the Riverwalk.
Go to the Alamo. Yep. Yeah.
Right.
So we're excited, but I will say
you should be. Wait, I got to ask him, Danny. You said.
Yeah.
I heard you say quickly you were president. I think you said you were president.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, but I don't know what you were president of. What were you president of?
Of CEC.
The whole shebang. Yes. Wow. I didn't know that. Congratulations, Danny. That's a big deal. That's a big deal.
Thank
okay.
You.
And are you still president now?
I am now the immediate past president, and my term is up in December. So
yeah,
I will be leaving my term. Yes.
I always tell people that when they use like Professor Emeritus, President Emeritus, okay, that's the Latin word for old. So there you go. You know, it's,
I will take that too. You are right. Yeah.
There you go. Not you, Danny, but others. Not you.
No, me too.
And I'm so glad. Yeah, you know, and this is a struggle. It's always been a struggle. All right. And I think, you know, where there are shortages, and there's shortages in math teachers, there's shortages in science teachers, too, okay? And there's no shortage, by the way, in elementary, as far as I can tell. You know, unless it's special ed or whatever, but it's really in those subjects, special ed being the king, okay, of shortages right now, all right? And what has to happen, okay, and you have to play with the economics a little bit. You know, if you become a special ed teacher, we will pay back all your schooling. If you become a special ed teacher, we'll do this, we'll do that. But that's the way you start to rebuild the profession. And if I may, you have to go to other places and tell the whole story to the Rotary Clubs and to everything else, okay, and make it really have them all understand what you're doing out there. Because what you're doing out there is really important to a hell of a lot of people. I got to tell you. You know, it's really just so darn important. Lori, you mentioned before about Michigan. What's the great state of Michigan doing?
Well, we have a whole Elevate the Profession campaign going where we actually contracted with a marketing firm to help us. And so
we are
out around the social media. We are collaborating with actually about 20 of the state organizations, superintendents, building principals, parent advocacy groups, all of the above, the teachers union. We're sending out some monthly newsletters just talking about the profession and some of the opportunities. We've got about a 65% open rate, which is kind of off the chart.
That's incredible. Yeah, that's off the chart. He's right.
We're also doing some outreach to our legislators, asking if they, when they're back in their districts, when they're not session to be filmed with an outstanding special educator that's actually their legislative district, which will be a great campaign opportunity for them, but it's good for them to have an understanding of the importance of special education when they're making legislative decisions. And we've got a lot going on with social media, you know, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, TikTok, Snapchat, believe it or not, those little high schoolers. And we've had about 5.2 million impressions. We've also developed a website for some full transparency about all the special ed professions and the university programs that are available. And we've had almost 44,000 clicks on the website. Larry, what's interesting is this has turned into a high school recruiting campaign that in Snapchat, out of the 5.2 million, 1.1 million of those were the 13 to 17-year-olds on Snapchat that were leaving impressions. And 22,000 of them out of the 43,000 that went on the website came off of Snapchat. So we're putting information out there about scholarships and funding available for them. And so they're clicking on that, and then they're going in. And in the website, it talks about special ed teachers and what it means to be it, and what programs are available at the universities and organizations to provide support, school psychologists, social workers, I mean, every single one of the professions. So they've also gone out to all of the different state organizations and done the storytelling, as Danny said. So we've got about 80 different stories from all of the different professions, including parents,
around special education, really celebrating what it means to be a special educator and, you know, just the success of all of that. And that's what we're blasting out through the social media. We looked at the education influencers in Michigan. We utilized them to really help us with, you know, with a lot of the promotional opportunities. But we have built some tremendous momentum around that. We talked about this before, Larry. We've got about a 38% decline in enrollment in our teacher preparation programs across the nation.
Yeah. I know.
We have to do a better job changing the perception of what it means to be a special educator before they start enrolling in those programs. So it's really the trigger to, you know, making any other types of system changes that we need to be more effective is really celebrating the work that we're doing, highlighting the importance. We're going to be pulling artificial intelligence into it soon because you've got so many high school students that are technology interested and let them know that there's a lot of technology options through assistive technology and AI supports that could be utilized, you know, while they're working with individuals with disabilities kind of as an incentive. So just getting the word out there and just really celebrating the people that are in the profession. So our website is actually optimize.education. It means opening the pipeline of talent in Michigan special education. And it's our portal of transparency around what we're doing to elevate the profession and pull people in to be able to educate them and disseminate to encourage more people to come into the profession.
Yeah, it's great. And, you know, with the success of this, all right, and I assume it was done through Michigan CEC, their branch. Was it, am I correct, or was it the national?
No, actually, the Michigan legislators are contracting with CEC for my time. So CEC is really important. CEC is really supporting the work that we're doing, that I'm doing in Michigan around that. But because I came from Michigan my whole career, 45 years and teaching in Michigan. I'm just going back and helping them develop a new system. So we're not looking at amending a system. We're looking at developing a whole new system of support that's going to be conducive for them to attract, prepare, and retain not only an effective but a diverse workforce as well.
And so is it going to go national? That sounds like a great campaign. You guys are the first ones to talk to me about really getting involved in marketing, real heavy-duty marketing from a marketing firm to fix the challenge. Are you going to go national with this?
I just presented yesterday on a keynote panel at the National Association of State Directors of Special Education, and I presented that work there, and they were very, very interested in that. So I think Michigan is definitely leading the way with a national campaign. We're engaged in conversation with the Assistant Secretary of Office of Special Ed and Rehabilitative Services that wants to do a little bit more work from a national perspective or a federal perspective around this as well. So we're going to be working, CEC is going to be working closely with the U.S. Department of Ed on what they can do from a national perspective or a federal perspective to help with this campaign as well.
I think it's a great idea. Congrats to Michigan. Okay, and now we got to get New Jersey, Kansas, okay, and Utah. Doing the same thing. You know, it's unbelievable. And the other 46 states as well, okay, because this is a good idea, okay? Really, real marketing is all I can say.
Real marketing.
All of you have been wonderful with your insights today, and I wish you all the best of luck. You can be congratulated not only on reaching out for your profession, but doing it every day. I mean, it's really just something. And my last question is, Danny, have you ever been to Barini's in Randolph or somewhere near there?
I have. I know exactly
They're bringing up a turkey London broil today. Have you had that?
Tell me where and when to be, and I'll be there.
Barini's. Okay, everybody. Okay, so so Utah and Kansas and Michigan, be jealous. Okay, this is a turkey London broil.
From Barini's.
Okay.
You're very lucky.
Yes. And we're treating them to I know we are. And we're treating them with lobsters tonight. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Okay. And so much for New Jersey. Ben, thanks a million, my friend. Thank you, Ben. Keep up the good work. Ben?
Thank you, Larry, for the
Thank you.
Okay. And Lori, of course, thank you. Danny, you're terrific. Sean, you're doing great work out there, man. I got to tell you. And good luck to the Chiefs. That's the Patriots ain't going anywhere. What do I care? The Patriots aren't going anywhere. So you can have the Chiefs. Okay?
There you go.
But the Jets are doing well.
We
shall Don't forget
see.
About the Jets. We're actually having
I know the
season.
Jets are doing well. They beat the Giants. I know that it was a miracle. I know yes. that. I'll let you off the hook, Miss Meadowland. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you all. You guys are wonderful. Really, I just congratulations. Thank you for all the good you're doing out there. Thank you all, guys. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you, Larry.
You're welcome. Bye. Oh, man, what a great group. This is CEC, Council for Exceptional Children, exceptionalchildren.org, and Lori's the Associate Executive Director. Danny, Sean, and Ben, wonderful teachers, doing great stuff, what can I say? And we really do need to push this. This is a problem we have to solve, all right? And it's teachers who need to do that to make sure that they're pushing, not pushing, but suggesting that students take a good look at education as a career, all right? That's simple. And hopefully all the state legislators will pick up and do the right thing. At any rate, I'm Larry Jacobs. We're going to archive this show over at ace-ed.org. And thanks a million for listening, everybody. Have a great day.